and welcome to LAN Parties, episode 183 from the Las Vegas Review Journal, brought to you by Blue Wire. I am your host, Ryan Smith, and as you can see, we do not have Lucas Egan today. Unfortunately, Lucas was not able to join us, but hopefully everything is cool on that end, and you've got us, me, today. This weekend was pretty chill. I played a lot of Exoprimal, came out for Capcom, which I've got to say that Capcom ID process was a little frustrating, but we finally got it going, and I am having an absolute blast playing that game. Obviously, we got some more Marvel Snap in, a little bit of Destiny 2, and a game that I can't talk about, but I'm having fun playing that as well. Closed beta just ended for that, but all in all, it's a pretty solid weekend, but enough about me. We're still, even though Lucas isn't here, we are still being joined by an amazing guest. Joining us again, Rick Thayer, the general manager of Evo. Rick, thank you so much for joining us. How was your weekend, my friend?
Weekend was busy. We're about 2 weeks out from the show from a business day standpoint, but good. Ate well, slept not enough.
I understand how that goes. I'm currently right now, I'm solo dole at the house. The girls are up visiting the grandparents, so I have 2 weeks of just me at the house, and I'm loving it. I'm getting all my gaming in that I need to get in, so it's been fantastic. But before we get into Evo and talk about it, we got a little bit of news to talk about beforehand. This is a big one. This is something that we've kind of been covering off and on between the Activision Blizzard and Microsoft deal. And we just got word a couple days ago, actually, an appellate court denied the FTC's request basically their challenge of the purchase of Activision Blizzard, which was a big roadblock for them as we were going into this between them and the UK is still kind of up in the air. But this basically clears the hurdle for Activision Blizzard and Microsoft deal to happen here in the United States. So that's a huge roadblock from them. So as far as I could tell, they just need to be able to convince and change the mind of the UK. And it sounds like this deal may be going through. But one of the biggest concerns, at least from the Sony side, has been that they're afraid that because Call of Duty is so big, if Microsoft were to make it an exclusive for Xbox or Microsoft ecosystem, then it would greatly hurt PlayStation, which it's kind of odd to hear that because PlayStation is known for the exclusives, but Call of Duty is absolutely huge in terms of just worldwide audience and how much money it makes and stuff like that. Well, Microsoft and Sony has officially inked in a deal for Call of Duty to stay multi-platform for at least the next 10 years. And I've been saying this for a little bit now, but Microsoft and all the moves that they've been making have not been one of, hey, we're just going to keep this stuff to ourselves and make them exclusive. They've really been open to cross-platform, cross-play, and things of that nature. Plus, I think them making it an exclusive, they would lose a ton of money that they would be able to get from the PlayStation, the Sony community, and other communities. They also inked in a deal with Nintendo to bring Call of Duty to the Switch as well. So this is, again, this isn't surprising that they were able to make this deal. What happens after the 10 years? I really couldn't say if they decide to continue moving forward, but at least in good faith, they're saying, hey, we're going to keep this thing open. We're not looking to make it exclusive or try to hoard all that to ourselves, which would greatly fracture the community as a whole. So I'm glad that they're making these moves and they're doing this stuff in good faith. And I think this is going to help to push this deal across the finish line. So it's been kind of an ongoing saga here a little bit, but it's good to see that they're making some headway. And I thought actually that they were going to have more of a challenge from the FTC. The next step, the only other step they could take it to, I believe, is the Supreme Court, which, again, there are way more pressing issues, I'm guessing, that they're dealing with as opposed to something like this. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what they, you know, they're going back to the table at the UK to try to renegotiate and re-bargain. We know that the EU were okay and they gave this the okay. So I'm wondering if they sweeten the deal a little bit, if they'll get that green light over in the UK. And then I don't know that there's really much that's going to be stopping this acquisition from taking place. So this is pretty huge news. Rick, what are your thoughts on this? I don't know if you've been following this at all, but I feel like it's got a lot of implications in terms of the video game community and moving forward, especially in business side of video games.
I think as long as I can keep playing the games I want to play, life's going to move forward.
Yeah.
Beyond that, creating media conglomerates or preventing the creation of media conglomerates is the American way. So I'll just kind of see what happens.
Yeah, and I think a lot of folks are kind of in that boat too, just sitting back and seeing what happens. I mean, that's the acquisition deal in itself is huge. And, you know, Activision Blizzard, they've got some big games, but I mean, obviously their biggest one being Call of Duty and how much money it makes and how much of a shift, you know, you can see that one video game has on a company for this much pushback to take place. But I think it's right of them for a deal this big to be scrutinized and to be looked at from all angles, just to make sure that we're not then setting a company up to basically become a monopoly. But again, I don't know that one game could specifically do that. And Microsoft has come out themselves and said, look, we're not trying to win a console war. We gave that up a while ago. I think they've already made the shift, and their focus is more on cloud gaming and bringing people into their ecosystem. They don't care how you play it. They just want you to play it. You know, again, I'd love to see more first-party stuff from them, but I've kind of talked about this before. I don't know that video games is necessarily Microsoft's, you know, big attention getter. That's not where they're putting their resources and focus at. You know, they have other products that are making way more money for them. So I can kind of see how video games and that sector is kind of off to the side. But we'll see how it all plays out. And also, too, sticking with the Microsoft theme, we just found out, which I didn't even realize, we talked about this not too long ago, but Microsoft had rolled out this family share plan, where essentially it allows you to share your account with up to five other people, which is huge. That's a big amount for essentially $10 extra off of the Ultimate Pass. I think that's a great value. Again, that brings more people into that Microsoft ecosystem. What I didn't realize, however, was that this was just a test. I thought this was like a fully fledged, like rolled out thing. And apparently they came out and said that this has been a test and it's going to be ending August 15th. My guess is that they haven't said whether or not they're going to roll it back out at a later date. My guess is that there's going to be some sort of price increase to it, maybe to like $15 instead of $10 extra. And then I could see them maybe bumping it down from five users to three users or even two users. Someone tried to make the case for two users, but I would like to at least see three users that you can share it with. But again, they've got to be able to look at it and see what do we need to do to make this. And in itself, Game Pass, I don't believe is profitable. So this is kind of like that Netflix issue where they're trying to crack down now on people sharing passwords, whereas they are building into their system the ability to, hey, you pay a little extra, you can give and share your account with other people, which I do like that route. At least it gives you some options, and they're still able to monetize it, although they're not getting individual subscriptions from those individuals, whoever you're sharing. But typically, those are going to be people that aren't going to be actively going out trying to get subscriptions like that. So I think it's a great plan. It was something that I was looking at. I subscribed to the Nintendo one for the Switch just because my daughter has a Switch as well, and we're able to share that stuff and whatnot. So anytime there's a deal like that, and like my dad's got I'm working on a PC for him. So then when he's got that, then, you know, I would love to be able to do this. So then he has access to my library because I can't really see him actively going out and getting games, but this will allow him a plethora of games to be able to try out and play, and maybe that would change. So sad to see that this is going, but hopefully we see it come back in some form or fashion in the future where folks are able to do this. Rick, I don't know if you ever had a chance to mess around with or if you subscribed to Game Pass, but I mean, this is a great deal.
My household subscribes to Game Pass. Again, I like anything that lets me play games. So
yeah, exactly. And anything that gives us the ability to just get down, because that's really what it's about. It's about being able to sit down, play games, giving other people the opportunity to play games as well. So I'm always all for these kind of family sharing and the ability to allow other people that maybe aren't actively going to go out and look to get a subscription themselves to at least give them the opportunity to play some of the games and some of the stuff and some of the offerings that we have on Game Pass. And then maybe they say, hey, you know, maybe I'll go ahead and get one myself. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. Again, Game Pass Ultimate is a great deal. As a person that has never owned an Xbox myself personally, I love to have the ability to be able to play some of these like Halos and things like that where I never had the opportunity to do that before. So I'm all about it. I'm loving seeing what Microsoft is doing in that space and kind of what the plan is moving forward here in the next, I don't know, 5-10 years. So we'll see how it goes, but let's take a quick commercial break. We're coming back. We're going to be talking to everything Evo and what's going on at Evo 2023 with Rick. We'll be right back, y'all. If you love listening to us here on LAN Parties, what's stopping you from grabbing a mic and starting your own show? And there's no better place to host than Blue Wire Hustle. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is, you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So if you're ready to do more than just listening to us talk about your favorite team or game, then make your voice heard and hustle. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box in this episode to find out more. But that's bwhustle.com/join. And welcome back. Thank you so much for that quick commercial break. And now for the fun part, we're sitting down with Rick Dyer, the general manager of Evo 2023. We're pumped. So far, the numbers have been huge. We've got almost 10,000 entrants across the board. The biggest one being, of course, Street Fighter VI. Tell us, Rick, how huge is it to have a game, a new fighting game come out only months before, obviously, the biggest fighting game tournament in the world?
It's definitely enthusiastic timing. So anytime you get a tentpole of the franchise that comes out in close enough proximity to the show that people can still get a little bit practiced up for what the game is going to feel like, how they can compete, and then wind up close enough to the event that there's kind of the assumption that the game is not going to get figured out in full by then. Mm-hmm. It ramps up enthusiasm for the title.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the biggest things that I thought too, because this Street Fighter is a lot different. I mean, obviously we had here not too long ago when Street Fighter V came out, that also was a boon. A lot of people were playing it, but I mean, the numbers here have been astronomical, and I really felt like they did something good. They gave us a little bit of everything with this game. Me personally, I don't compete, but the fact that I got to be able to, that I can go in, create a character within the Street Fighter universe, I was all about it. I absolutely picked it up. And, you know, again, we were seeing that here in the numbers. I'm wondering, with that many entrants, so we're at 7,000, a little over 7,000 entrants specifically for Street Fighter VI. I think the next closest one is Guilty Gear Strive with a couple of thousand here. So that's huge. I'm thinking pools. What is the plan here in terms of pools, getting the production down, and just going forward with that?
So the plan doesn't really change based on the number of entrants at this type of event. Mm-hmm. It just changes on the amount of people that have to run that plan. So there's hundreds of pools that are going to be occurring at any given time, particularly on Friday during the show. We're throwing a small army at it. It's going to be an interesting time.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know, last year's event was fantastic. Obviously, we had some huge matches. The convention side of things were great. Let me ask you, what did you guys learn from last year and some of the things that didn't go the way that you guys had planned, and how are you guys looking to improve some of those things that you thought could have gone smoother?
I think the big takeaway from last year, the takeaway that's pretty much part of every single show, figure out how to better establish the balance between the show's tournament elements, the show's presentation elements, and the show's convention elements. Evo exists as a big rally point for fighting games. So it's a lot of different elements of what that genre brings together from a player and a fan standpoint. And making sure it all meshes is what makes it sing.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, and I know too, let me ask you directly on the broadcast side. I know that there's a little bit of bumps and stuff like that, I think on the first day. But you guys pivoted and were able to shift and change things up on the fly, which was excellent. I remember seeing on Twitter, you were actively speaking to people, you know, and saying, hey, we know this, we're working on this stuff. You know, are you able to, you know, go in this year, you know, take what you learned from last year and that stuff and then apply it to this year?
Yeah, we've got to run a show this year we're comfortable with. It takes the key learnings from last year, particularly in regards to the viewership sentiment, so that we can go and produce not only the product we know we can, but a product that isn't going to be reflective of some of the pain points from 2022. It can stay as engaging and as exciting as we want it to be.
Absolutely. And what can folks expect this year? Maybe that are the same and some things that are different?
So the things that you can expect that are the same. We're still going to have a broadcast for every game at the show. We're still going to have a community showcase stage for a bunch of the organizers and games across the breadth of the fighting game genre that aren't part of the core lineup. We're still going to have developers and publishers on site, particularly on Friday, coming in together with those showcase hours to talk about where the genre's been, where the genre's going, what they're up to right now. We've got exhibition and interview content during that Friday showcase as well. And then we've got the big arena finals on Sunday.
Absolutely, which is going to be absolutely huge. Let me ask you again, we're back here in Vegas at Mandalay Bay, a great venue spot for this. And obviously, you know, with this, with more entrants, there's, I'm guessing ticket sales is just going to be all around a bigger event. You know, how are you guys planning for that? Are you planning? I know that you're saying, you know, hey, we've got a plan. We're going to stick to the plan. But was there anything differently that you guys are looking at going into this one, knowing that this is going to be probably the biggest one that you guys have had in years?
Yeah. And so the biggest thing we're doing is not sticking with the original plan.
Ah.
When you get a turnout like this, you stick with the basics of that plan. How do you execute the pool play? How do you make sure the tournament gets running? But in terms of facilitating a weekend for this many people where they all have the space to do what they want to do when they want to do it, the arcade is larger. We've got 10,000 square feet for that this year. The vendor village is full of significantly more activity-based exhibitors and vendors than just walking through and shopping. The shopping area is still there, though. The artist alley is still there. Lounges are there this year, so there's a place to post up, to chill, get up off your feet. We're trying to make sure that with this many people present, there's enough to do, there's enough to see, and there's enough opportunities to actually kind of rally around with what should be your friends and rivals by the end of the weekend.
Absolutely. And I know I've got a ton of friends that are coming in town, you know, other folks that will be coming in. Las Vegas is a great city to be able to host events, and you know, there's all kinds of things outside of the venue or the space as well to do. Do you guys have any events or anything planned outside of Evo and the convention center?
We don't have anything else planned outside of the kind of core exhibit halls and the arena finals. Particularly with as many people that are coming, we're trying to focus on that experience being as well executed as we can deliver. We're not trying to spread our bandwidth any thinner.
No, and that's smart. And I'm sure, too, there's probably a ton of, you know, people within the community and stuff like that. They're kind of doing their own separate things. And because, like you're saying, this isn't only a place to be able to compete. This is a place to link up with your friends. The whole community from around the world is going to be out here. And it's just such an exciting time. And like, you can already feel the energy flowing. I have been since Street Fighter 6 came out. I was like, ooh, this is good. This is real good. Let me ask you, and this is kind of thinking future forward wise now. So we had Street Fighter 6 that came out. We've also got, and we know that Tekken 8 is either going to be coming out sometime at the end of this year or maybe into early next year. And then we've got Mortal Kombat 1 that will be coming out next year as well. How big do you think that is going to, because I mean that is absolutely huge. Two staples of basically the fighting game genre are going to be coming out with new releases. We're fresh off of Street Fighter 6 coming out with its next iteration. Like, I don't see this getting any smaller anytime soon.
No, absolutely not. One of the coolest things about seeing Street Fighter 6 come out and having it really deliver on the competitive experience, the fan experience, even having tools in the game to help push on the community experience, is thinking about what's going to happen when Tekken 8 comes out with some of that. What's going to happen when Mortal Kombat 1 comes out and takes everything they were already doing with MK11 that hit on a lot of mm-hmm. those sweet spots and ramping it up. And that's without even getting to the fact that Riot's going to be entering the space soon with Project, well, soon TM, I hope, going to wind up getting into a space where we know Arxis is still working on titles. We know SNK is still working on titles. There is, I think, going to be an absolute wealth of legitimately good fighting games coming out soon. On top of really great older fighting games, SNK is a great call out for this, where they're digging back in, adding new netcode and new netcode features to some of those classic titles and making those readily accessible. Like, it is just in general a good time to be playing fighting games.
It really is. It's like, yeah, there's a lot. And the fact that they're getting that net code dialed in has been a huge boon. I know that's been a kind of a pain point within the fighting game community. So to see them hitting those strides, I think we're seeing the result of that now. We're seeing more people get into this. And the fact, too, that they're making it, because something that was interesting to me is that with Street Fighter 6, you have your classic controllers and then you have your modern day controllers, which, again, I think that really opens up the audience to who is able to play the game and confidently go in. Now, I know there's trash talk about the modern controls, but it's there. It is there for a reason. And I just love the fact that the games are allowing more folks to be able to come in and play it and enjoy it. It is absolutely huge. Let me ask, you know, is there any game, you know, so far, because registration is closed now, correct?
Correct. We've still got open ticketing, so you can come hang out, check out the show, but competition registration is closed.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. So with the registration closed, is there any game that you see that kind of surprised you in terms of numbers that you thought maybe there'd be more entrants and it just there just wasn't?
I think I always want more entrants for every game. Mm-hmm. I think the thing that's surprising this year is not registrations where they stopped or registrations where you would hope for more or hit different kind of endpoints. It's really the fact that a bunch of these games came in and kind of blew past expectations. Mm-hmm. Like, we got that first throwback tournament this year with Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Game is not new. Game is not easy to play online at all.
Right.
And we're hosting the largest tournament in that series history in a couple of weeks.
That is. And I love that. I love the fact that these games, these older games too, are, I mean, they're timeless. It, you know, as long as there's an audience for it. You know, I love the fact that you guys are able to bring it into something, into, again, onto the world stage and see these fierce battles and these fierce competitions with a game that's older like that to a game that just came out a couple months ago. I think it's fantastic. And something else that you hit on too was your I believe you said it was like a almost like a developer's alley, where there's folks where you're also given an opportunity for folks that may not be with a AAA company that are doing things independently to be able to showcase the work that they're doing. You know, what kind of benefits do you think folks will get from that, both on the consumer side and on a developer side?
I think the great thing about having an indie showcase at a show at this scale is they get to show up and have a great, great wealth of people and play experience to sit down and try out the game. So you're going to get feedback about how to tailor your game to either a specific player type or how to expand what you're working on to make it more attractive for a wider number of people. And on the consumer side, you get a chance to sit down and try out games that aren't necessarily fully developed with the type of budget that a Mortal Kombat 1 would be. So they're not going to be able to spread their resources and their ideas that far from an execution standpoint. Mm-hmm. So they get to zero in on what makes my offering different, what makes my offering unique. And sometimes those ideas, even in the like alpha stage of a game, can be incredibly fun to actually sit down and get a chance to play with.
Absolutely. I know I found I played a game called Five Force Fighters, and, you know, great, blessed and beloved, great folks there. But that's so important to be able to do that and be able to get into a space where, you know, this is literally your demographic for your game. So to be able to get in front of these people, get that critical feedback from, you know, directly from folks that are going to be out there playing the game, I imagine is absolutely invaluable to the experience, to the developers, and to companies that may not be able to get out there like that and get all those folks in one place is absolutely huge. You know, let me ask you, Rick, as we're about 2 weeks out from the show, what are your hopes that people take away from the show, and kind of, you know, what do you hope really hits with the folks that come out to Evo 2023?
So I'm always simple on that side. What I want out of people to show up is, yes, take stock of the tournaments, wander through the vendor village, but there's an area of the show that's just dedicated to casual gaming. Bring your own control from home, sit down, play games. The stakes are as low as you want them to be. The stakes are as high as you want them to be, depending on whoever else is around you. But there are people from Evo from across the world. You have a chance to sit down and play games with people who don't speak the same language you do outside of that game. And you can actually develop relationships and friendships and rivalries with all of those players, and then get into situations where if you wind up in a position to travel 5 years from now, you might still actually have some connectivity from someone you met on site at Evo this year. And this happened to me when I wound up in Warsaw, sat down with people that I only knew through fighting games that I had met at events like Evo, and then got a one-on-one tourism experience for somewhere I had never thought I was going to wind up being at to begin with. That is not something that's going to happen most of the time sitting around playing at home. It can happen at a show like this. So take the time to talk to people. Most everyone there is interested in arguably the same thing you are. That's why they're there.
Exactly. And that's such a great point, too. It really is more than a tournament, a convention. It is a central gathering hub for the fighting game community. Like you said, from around the world, and just the friends that you meet. I remember the first time I heard about it was, I want to say, 2010. My brother had entered the tournament, and it was one of the Street Fighter. I can't remember, maybe Street Fighter 4. And I, you know, that was my first exposure to Evo 2023. And he literally had friends from around the country that came together, that, you know, they just played together, and they were able to meet up, and we hung out. And that's really what it was about, was being able to connect with people that you have played with online. It is a way to be able to meet IRL, to be able to go have experiences and create memories with these folks. And to me, that's really what it's about. And there's no better place to be able to do it, I think, than Las Vegas. So again, it is going to be so exciting. It's going down August 4th through the 6th. Tickets are on sale right now as well. Rick, is there any last thoughts you want to leave us with, or anything that you just want to put out to the community?
Be irresponsible for me not to say, show up, have fun, stop by evo.gg to pick up the tickets that just got mentioned. We've got a lot left. Love to see some more of you.
Absolutely. Rick, again, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. And we hope you guys have a fantastic rest of your week. Don't forget, hit us up on the tweeters at LandPartiesPod, at Lucas Egan, or at Smitty2447. I knew Lucas wasn't here, so it kind of threw me off there for a second. But hit us up. Again, don't forget, go get tickets to Evo 2023 happening August 4th through the 6th out here in beautiful Las Vegas at the Mandalay Bay Convention Center and Hotel Casino. And we will see you guys next week. Don't forget, you already know what it is. We love your faces.